Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley today each weekday at noon on the River 95.3, I also produce podcasts, and I'm excited to kick off season two of our podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every month, we'll release a new episode talking to different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode on our website at theriver953.com under the podcast tab, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, just search for We Are REC. We are having a conversation today with Jason Satterwhite. He is the Director of Operations and Construction Services for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. Jason, thank you for taking some time out of your day to have a quick chat with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. I look forward to answering your questions and keeping our members informed.
So tell me, what does the Director of Operations and Construction Services do?
What falls under me is two different departments. One department is our operations center and our contract administrator that handles all of our overhead and underground contracts, any locating contract services. Operations center is the area that's manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that handles all outage reports, monitoring of our system, and our substations. The other department that falls under me now is our SCADA and load management department and our field communications. That department's overview. SCADA is a software that we use to monitor our substations. It monitors the equipment and the health of the equipment in the substations and allows us to see real time what's going on out in the field from the office. The field communications part of that is the technicians that work on that equipment. They go out and make sure that all of our truck radios, our two-way radios, our microwave systems are communicating back and forth to the office. And our load management program goes into the areas of demand response where we can actually turn off water heaters. We can lower voltage on our substations to actually lower our peak demand to save our members money on our wholesale power bill.
And we all appreciate that. As a member, I personally appreciate that. Let's talk about outage situations for a minute, though. What goes on behind the scenes when you're trying to keep members informed when there's an outage in their area?
So as we receive reports of the outage, they come into our outage management system. That's software collects the data from the members that are reporting outages, analyzes that based off of our GIS, our mapping system, and groups outages together that are related. As the dispatcher analyzes those outages, we assign trucks or crews to those outages. That updates our member-facing outage map, and the members are able to see when a crew is assigned to the outage, when the crew is dispatched to the outage, and as the crew arrives on scene of the outage. Once the crew arrives on scene, they give us an update in the operations center of what the outage cause is and estimated restoration time. The dispatcher enters that into the system. That also updates on our member-facing map so that the member's informed of what caused the outage, our estimated restoration time so they can make plans to accommodate meals for their evening if they're on the way home from work. They may have to grab something on the way back in if they know they're going to be out of power. That also triggers text messages to the members. So we do our best to keep our estimated restoration times as accurate as possible. It may take a little bit when the outage occurs for us to get that initial estimated restoration time to the members, but we want to provide real life data to them. So right now we wait for the crew to arrive on site so that they can give us a real time restoration time.
I live in Middletown, Virginia, and I've been in this house 15 years. We've maybe had an outage three or four times, and we had one a few weeks ago, and it was a big one. The gas station, everything within any viewing distance that we could see was out. And I know from doing the podcast, immediately go to my Smart Hub app, report the outage. Don't think somebody else has done it. Always do it yourself. And I loved being able to follow along and look at my husband like I was somebody and say, hey, they're on scene, and this is when they think, and this is what's going on. And it gave me a strange comfort to also be able to see how many other people were sitting in the same boat that I was.
It does. It does. And it's a team effort to get that information out to our members, all the way from the guys being in the field, taking time to provide that information to the dispatchers, which then entered into the system. And then we also communicate regularly with our PR and communications. If it's a long, widespread outage or something that's going to be for a few hours, we try to use social media to update our members. The linemen provide pictures at times of the cause of the outage, because even though the member can't fix the outage, they like to have an idea of what's going on out there and can understand what our employees go through to keep the lights on.
I'm one of those people, just having the information made me feel better. This outage only lasted, I don't even think it was an hour. It wasn't very long. And it was in the evening. It was a little bit cooler. We had the dogs outside. And then it suddenly dawned on us that with no power meant no invisible fence. So we had to kind of keep a closer eye on the dogs. But just knowing that this is what's going on made it easier while you wait until the power comes back.
Yes, and that's been an initiative of REC for forever, is keeping our members informed with the best, most accurate information we can in a timely fashion while restoring power in as safe a manner as we can.
Keeping them in the know during an outage is important, but you guys do a lot to prevent an outage from happening in the first place. And I understand now you're using drones to do that?
We do. That falls under my responsibility too, as our drones are unmanned aircraft program. So we use that for preventative maintenance. We will use it in a substation to do a visual inspection of equipment that we can't get close to from the ground. We've used it in outage response when we do have an outage, or if it's in a secluded area that's hard to get a truck down the right of way. We have drone pilots that are linemen. They'll use the drone to fly over, take a camera shot of what the trouble is, come back, review the footage, and make a game plan of what they need to take in to the right of way to restore power quickly, versus having somebody walk half a mile or a mile down the right of way and then have to come back and gather the equipment. We also use the drones when we're building lines, or if we have, say, a river crossing. We can actually tie a string to the drone, fly it across the river to pull back another rope, and then pull the cable across the river crossing. So it's been very beneficial. We're actually looking at a proof of concept of doing more inspections with drones on almost every structure we have. It's been an invaluable tool. And I'd say we have somewhere around 15 to 20 pilots at this time and about 14 drones in our fleet.
I think a lot of the average people just assume because you can go to Walmart or Best Buy or Costco and get a drone that it's not that big of a deal, but there's a lot more involved when you're using it in the way that you're using it. You mentioned pilots, there's training, there's licensing, there's a lot of other stuff that go into your ability to use these drones.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm still getting my feet fully wet with this part of the job duties. Yes, every drone has to be registered with the FAA, along with every pilot has to be certified through 107 testing. And that's regulated by the FAA. We use an app on our iPads that go with the drones to record our pre-flight checklist. They have to do a pre-flight checklist. They have to make sure that we're flying in appropriate areas, that the weather conditions are okay to fly. It's not just pull it out of the truck and make a flight as we would in our personal lives. So it is a big responsibility, and our drones are expensive. We do have some, the camera systems on them are nice. There are others out there that have more functions, but as we grow out our program, we'll investigate whether we want to do some thermal or infrared cameras on them to inspect the equipment a little further.
Several years ago, I decided to buy one of those drones because I thought they were cool, and learned two things pretty quickly. One thing was, because in my growing up days, Pac-Man was the video game of choice, I did not have the video game dexterity of being able to figure out how to maneuver and drive those. So my son came in pretty handy. And then the second thing is, my husband ultimately took it away from me because I kept getting it stuck on the roof. So my drone driving days are over.
It's a lot more to it than what people realize.
You mentioned when we first started having our conversation about saving REC members money. Is that what the demand response program is? Can you explain it to me?
So So the demand response program encompasses several different programs that we have at REC, everything from where we installed water heater switches that control when we can turn off and on water heaters during peak times. We have time of use meters where members are paying different rates for what time of the day that they use power. They can find that window where power is cheaper and use more during that time versus using it at peak time. We have some AC switches that kind of work the same way as the water heater switches. One of the bigger ones that we're looking into, and we had a pilot launched in 2020, was our summer savings program. The overview is, on the very peak of the month, if we can reduce the cost on our demand for that area, then we can save members on our wholesale power bill for the month. Because obviously you don't want to pay peak charges for the power we're buying. So if we can reduce that through these programs, we can save hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars over time that our members won't have to pay on the power bill.
And I've learned from previous conversations with other people at Rappahannock Electric Cooperative that that's very important, that some of us on the member end may not realize, is a lot of times those prices are set during those peak times. And we may get those notices that say, hey, if you can dial back the air conditioner or any of those other things, it's going to save you in the long haul. That's really a savings that we're just not understanding, I think.
It is. And we have staff that monitor this all the time, and they have good prediction based off of history and weather conditions on when those peaks are going to occur. And we've been very successful on keeping the peak down on the days that we need to. And we've tried some voluntary things, such as putting social media posts out there, beat the peak programs. And we want to encourage saving electricity and using it responsibly every day of the week, but especially on those peak days, because that really makes a wholesale change for the members.
Lewis O'Berry has taught me about the setting my AC to dial down during the day and dial down at night if I don't need it that cold while we're sleeping. So I think I've learned a lot of those tricks of the trade.
We have great programs, from our energy advisors to the communications group, again, of helping our members understand and getting that message out to them. The energy advisors are great at understanding ways to save power and doing the home audits and things like that to assist the members in reducing that bill.
Well, Jason, thank you for taking some time out of your day to have this conversation. I always love talking about drones and saving money.
Yeah, that's always a fun conversation. I obviously am very passionate about it. That's where I got my start at REC, is in the operations center. So I treat that as a true emergency for members, and we pride ourselves of restoring power quickly. But yes, I agree. The drones and the saving money is much more fun to talk about.
Well, you've got 5 stars in the outage department here in my neck of the woods. So I thank you for that as well.
We appreciate all the members' patience when we do experience outages. Just please know that we are out there working hard to restore everybody's power as quickly and safely as we can.